2:30 on Monday, the 3rd of March, 2003.
Hold. Hold, 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 hold. Okay. Oh. Deborah? Go over to the guest house?
Ashley. Pretty played out, actually, right at the moment. Yeah. 3 weeks in the Amazon, 2 weeks of FAI, and...
Well, that will take it out of anyone.
But it's really crazy. Really peace rallies and that sort of thing right at the moment.
I'm starting to have a nap in the middle of the day when I can. This place keeps me busy. Do you want a tea or a coffee or anything?
Whatever, you're just
been in here before. Oh. The restroom's there if you need it. Okay. So, coming. I think this meeting's long overdue, but thanks for coming.
Well, as I said, I've been gone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the legal counsel that I had received was to stop the exchange of communication because it wasn't early in the fall because it wasn't going anywhere.
Oh, for sure.
So I was advised not to speak to you. And in fact, if the attorneys knew now that I was, I'd probably get a bit of a what for. But I sincerely feel that going in the direction of litigation is stupid. I think it's really undignified of us both. It reminds me of Arafat and Sharon. And I just dislike taking part in it.
Maybe I should remind you that on the two occasions that lawyers got involved, you brought them in first.
That's correct. That's correct, because we really were sort of adrift at sea with our paperwork. And no one trusted that we would get the paperwork as just through an exchange. So whether that was correct or not doesn't really need to be debated.
I'm not debating it.
I'm just saying that at this juncture point, to go in the direction that you seem to be wanting to go into is one that I feel very, you know, like a dog being drugged by a leash to a place that I think is going to waste a lot of time and a lot of energy, a lot of effort, and a lot of money, tremendous amount of money on both of our parts, tremendous. That could be going to better uses. So on that principle alone, I felt inspired to come by and see if there is a way to really come to some sort of conclusion of acceptance.
Yes, pay me for my work on Millennium Mind and the whole thing is finished and we go our own ways and life goes on. That's the end of it.
Share with me, if you will, how you got to this point of feeling that there was a monetary due.
Wow. Well, let's go back to the beginning. First of all, I volunteered to work with you on Millennium Mind, not SAI. At your request, I went to work at SAI on a greed pay scale, and that is ancient history. We don't need to go there. Millennium Mind was always a for-profit organization. It was always going to have a shareholding until you decided otherwise.
Yeah,
just one more sentence. At some stage we got to talking.
That was not a direction that ever was clear to me. Just so that.
Well then.
If you want to go on, I think I'm pretty aware of how you felt as a businessman. Things should be set up. I just wanted to insert the piece that as things have moved forward, so much has happened that it has become clear to me that that approach was never the direction that the masters were choosing for Millennium Mind to go in.
I don't want to get into the masters, Deborah. That is your get out of jail card, the masters said.
But that is who Millennium Mind belongs to. It does not belong to me, and it does not belong to you. It never did.
Hmm.
So unless the vision was the vision that they're efforting to bring through on the planet, not just through me, but through the new partners that I'm working with, who are spiritual teachers, none of whom are interested in for-profit endeavor.
I'm really not wanting to talk about what you're doing now.
So is there, because I feel that maybe I'm foolish for thinking that if there was actually clarity, other than just your position, which you've dug your heels into so deeply, that it's as though no one else can exist. What was true for me, what was my experience, what Millennium Mind is in essence, what it always was in essence, is like non-relative to your world of ideology.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying there are two sides to the story, and of course there are. And I remember having a conversation with you in your lounge at the lodge where we're talking about pay, and you said that you had a greater need for it at the moment initially, and I said that's not an issue, it's not a problem, and you said you felt that I was going to be having a salary of between 50,000 and 60,000 a year. That was discussed. It wasn't my imagination. Yeah.
If I was standing on a court of law, I would say yes.
Yeah.
That was discussed.
Okay. The other thing that was discussed freely amongst the three of us was a shareholding, and that came into fruition in the form of a draft
discussed.
Contract, which exists.
Yes, we know that was all discussed.
So we don't have to argue about this. We can get a third party to look at it from a distance to see whether these things were discussed, whether they exist or not.
They were discussed.
Yeah.
I agree. Mm. They were discussed.
And then for some reason, I don't know when, around the May time, you decided that was no longer appropriate. You didn't hold a meeting to say it wasn't appropriate. You just came out one day and said that we're not going in that direction, and there was nothing to replace it. So what did you think I would do? Just in a vacuum, just continue working for nothing forever? The whole premise of Millennium Mind, from my perspective, was we were going to set this up as a for-profit. There would be a salary, there would be shareholding, and when it took off, we would all move forward with it.
Well, but John, what ended up happening is that when I went to the lake in July and you were gone away for a period of time, I had a lot more time to meditate, to sit and receive what for me is important, because Millennium Mind really has moved from my heart and my mind more than anyone else's, and very little actually.
I'm not arguing that. I was always an employee.
So, what was made clear to me was the direction that you were wanting to take it in was not the direction that the masters or my higher guidance, or my heart, or whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter to me really, was wanting things to go in. And it may not go in that direction ever. It
what
may
direction,
not go in that direction.
What direction
at
was
all.
That, Deborah?
Into the for-profit container. And the for-profit...
But you and the masters came up with that idea, and I dutifully typed it out on one of my many charts that you had me do with the balloons.
So what I discovered over all of these months, and I'm not through to the other side of it yet, is that it is being carefully unfolded. Mm-hmm. And the basis of Millennium Mind is a concept. More than anything else, it is a concept. It has to do with my writing, the transmissions of the archives of sacred manifestation. That is really primarily what it is about. So I have not done corporate consulting, even though it has been available to me quite abundantly, I might add. I have turned it down.
Well, I set forward on the basis that that was going to happen.
But
at some point it changed, apparently.
Down. In order to be true to the information that I've been asked to bring through. So what I anticipated, and I think probably what would have happened, is that I would have felt pushed to go into a more business direction than what I was ready for. And I don't know if you can feel that for me, I did feel pushed to go into immediate legalization and whatever else that you thought you were doing with the filing of the papers and all that, which frankly I didn't understand. I'd been in Europe for, I think, close to a month. I was in Israel for a month as well. I wasn't here.
I think...
So I'm trying to say that from your business...
We're moving away from what I consider to be truth, Deborah.
I know that I felt pushed, John. And I know that although your vision was attractive to me, it was. It sounded good.
Deborah, the idea...
It was not where I could...
The idea that anyone else can run your show but you is laughable.
It is laughable.
It is laughable.
It is absolutely.
And the idea that I was going off at a tangent and doing something that you didn't like is also laughable.
So, what I'm trying to explain...
I set up the non-profits at your request. I set up the for-profits at your request.
We know all that.
But you're saying it was my vision.
Do you feel as though there's any place at all, any intention, any hope for this conversation to go anywhere other than a continuation of being on opposite sides of the boxing ring? Is that really what you want?
No, what I want is to be paid for the 5 or 6 months of my life that I gave up working towards an end that I thought was going to materialize, which vanished at the end. I just want to be remunerated for my time.
So if I'm on a court stand, there will be a lot that I will unfold. A lot.
Good.
And so what I'm also going to say is that as you got on the saddle, and started proceeding on what you thought was the plan. I was largely physically not here at all. And when I finally did get done with SAI, because I got back June 4th, I headed straight into SAI as soon as I finished SAI, that is when I really had a moment to catch my breath and focus on Millennium Mind at all. Before then, it was barely a solid reality in my world. And even now, the focus is on the transmissions. That's where the focus had to stay for me, the Creator. So I would have been unable, under any circumstances, to go in the direction that you were perceiving was the agreed upon perception. And I'm wondering if...
I have 60 or 70 documents at my lawyer's, Deborah, over 5 months of time showing that I was following your lead. The shareholder agreement, you attended the meeting with John Grief, it was drawn up, it exists. I have a note from Tamaya saying the shareholding exists.
That all of this is about money for you. That all you want is your money.
I want to be paid for the time that I worked. That's it. That's the end.
You just want to be paid.
That's it. That's
it. Even though there was no agreement, nothing in writing, nothing.
Oh, there were agreements, Deborah, between you and I, but they turned out not to be worth anything.
That's right. They turned out not to be worth anything at all.
Mm. Now, I have a history of doing what I say and keeping my word. Yes. Now, I have a history of acting from integrity.
You have a history of being a corporate raider, John. Of buying vulnerable companies and turning them over in a year or two and making money.
You don't have any idea about my past.
I
never used the word corporate raider.
But that is what it was. And I feel that you're doing the same thing now. You're trying to twist it to fit your ends.
Deborah, let the court decide. We can argue this from kingdom come.
So
we're never going to agree.
Do you really feel that it's worth it to you to invest in the court battle no matter what it's going to cost? Because it's going to cost far more than $50,000 that you even asked.
Deborah, let me tell you something. My wife did a tarot reading for you last July, and there was an opportunity for us to sit and talk about the issues between us then. You talk very well, you don't listen too well. At that time, my wife told you that your little empire would be
shoved down my throat. And it doesn't matter how I feel,
then,
it doesn't matter what was true for me, it does not matter what is true for, it does not matter what is actually true. It doesn't matter what is actually true. You see it your way, that is the only thing that exists.
Then aren't I a wonderful mirror to you? Because I've watched you treat other people, sometimes in a very, very bad way. You dispose of them like Kleenex.
That's right.
You treat them
absolutely
terribly.
I've disposed of a lot of people of late. It's true.
If you have not learned anything about me, learn this. You will not do that with me.
So is this pride money? What is it?
No, this is just payment for 5 or 6 months of labor, my time and effort. And come on, let's be honest about it.
I don't see it.
You're a very strong woman. If you wanted to change direction, you'd have come and told me. We used to meet virtually daily. The idea that I was going off on a tangent of my own is ridiculous. Even with the shareholding, Tamiya said she didn't want any.
Are you known by others to be a good listener? And are you known by others? I mean, I feel like you are an individual who likes to be the head of his own ship. And it's true. And I feel that whatever you perceive from the one in mind is a good deal. It's a good plan. I think you should go forward with that type of concept.
I have no intention or any desire of going forward with anything like Millennium Mind. That was always your baby. That's the point.
Can you grasp or understand or hear the degree to which I was overwhelmed and stressed out throughout those months, and when I finally did, as of July, have time to focus not just on the la-di-da of Millennium Mind, and when I say la-di-da, I mean the airlines and all this, you know, stuff that we were conjuring together. Which would take 50 years at least to put all of it together. I mean, it was a bit far-fetched. But when it came down to the reality of where I was at as a human being, where I was at with the job that was laid before me, whether that is a divine plan for 100 years from now, I really can't say. But what I do know, what is put in front of me now, you would never have had the patience for. Because it was not this big money wheeling dealing type of thing. It isn't. That's not what I am involved in. So I don't see how you would have wanted to participate.
Deborah, you're repeating back almost a film script as though it is my reality. It's not my reality.
Okay.
My reality was
John, should I stay here any longer, or should I leave? If you just want to sue, and that's all that you're going to do, and you're hell-bent on doing it, then there's really not so much reason for me to be here. I was hoping that by coming here,
you could talk me out of it.
I hoped, in my foolishness, perhaps, if you were able to hear what was actually taking place for me, that maybe you could put your dagger back wherever it belongs Because I feel stabbed in the back by you, John. I feel literally stabbed in the heart, stabbed in the back. I feel fucked up the ass. I feel so fucked over by you. Because you weren't listening to me. All the stories, I will serve you and I will listen to you and I will take this forward according to your desire. It turned out to be a lie. It was according to your picture, your story, your path, not the path that Millennium Mind was. And it's a joke for you to keep saying that it's anything else and painting yourself as this patron saint of Millennium Mind or knight in white shining armor. You've turned out to be a betrayer in my life. That's what you've turned out to be. It hurts. It hurts a lot. And if you're going to sue me now with your final ta-da, then just say so, and I can be on my way. You know, it's going to look horrible, primarily for you.
For me, Deborah. All the little skeletons in your cupboard will come out. The Beatrice McGuire will be paraded out there.
You know what? She completely recanted, my dear.
Did she?
Yes, she did.
What about...
It turns out somebody scraped her with their goddamn watch. It never had anything to do with me at all. But you didn't want to know the truth from her.
Well, she phoned me up and told
me... Morgan, you want to know that she's mentally unbalanced and there's a host of people, including her attorney, who will tell you that.
It is alleged by someone else that they got their jaw broke at Shaktipat as well.
Oh, who got their jaw broke? And we don't... Has this ever been what you have witnessed, John?
It's not been what I've witnessed, but it's...
Well, where does... So this is the point. That people who are mentally imbalanced come and make these accusations, which we get one or two a year, and immediately... You go on their bandwagon.
I'm not on their bandwagon, Deborah.
It feels like
I never sided with them. I would remind you. You just.
Then why are you?
I would you remind. I would remind you.
So
you, I would
if,
remind you.
So
listen.
I'm not
going to
take
change.
This lane down. If you want
no,
to sue,
you
we'll
have,
go so fucking down and dirty. Huge expenses, John, and it isn't going to come out of my pocket. It will come out of yours. Now, I think that's stupid waste of both of our time. Because when it comes to dragging all of this, it is
which
going
is
to
what
come
you
down
said
to basic
going to do.
Reality. Drag the skeletons. Defame all you want. Defame all you want. If that's what you enjoy, if that's what you get off on, go ahead and do it. You're going to do that kind of thing anyway, with or without a lawsuit. With or without it. You already are. Slandering is at top of your list. I haven't had time to discuss my situation with you.
What slanders, Deborah?
Because the...
I have seen your letters go out. I've seen the lies.
The comment that you just made about Beatrice... It's based on untrue information.
It is based on a letter I received from her as
Why
a director.
Why is it dropped? Why did nothing ever happen with it? Why did someone come
she
forward?
She phoned me and told me that she'd received a settlement from you.
That's right. In a roundabout way, because somebody else actually scraped her with their bracelet. That's what happened. And so, but you would discount that and believe someone who is documented as being mentally unbalanced. Why would someone say...
How would I know whether she was documented as being mentally unbalanced?
So, John, does it make any sense if a person says, I've been savagely mauled, but I remain completely calm and centered throughout, but they never mentioned it till 8 or 9 months later? Doesn't that sound somewhat off? Doesn't that sound strange? How does someone get savagely mauled in public, but they remain perfectly calm? I'm completely unaware of it. It turns out, somewhere in the room, someone raked her over the, you know, not deliberately, and not holding her down against her will, or anything like that. But it hurts me in the heart that you would believe this person and assume that it's a skeleton in my closet.
Deborah, you started this conversation by saying that you were going to get at me in the court by bringing things out of the cupboard.
I said
when I recant
that
by saying you've got more skeletons than I have.
I am talking about the facts of your employment with us. I am not talking about your past, and you've got your share of skeletons. Everybody does. I don't think everything you've done in your past you're so proud of either. You know, that really isn't relevant to this. I don't think.
I think the way you treat people and the way you treated me.
So do you want to sue me?
There is circumstance. I want payment for the 5 or 6 months' time I put into your organization. That is all.
I'm probably not going to be allowed to do that. I'm just letting you know that it's probably not likely that I'm going to fill out a check for $50,000 and just hand it to you.
I never expected you to.
So then it seems to me, though, that that's the truth. Then you do just want to sue purely for the point of it.
No, not at all.
Then what is the point?
The point is...
Is it money?
No.
Is that the point?
Do you want me to answer?
Yeah.
There is a principle here. I've watched you treat people badly. Mm-hmm. You do just dispose of them when you've had enough. You seem to...
That's one way of looking at it.
You seem to be very uncomfortable about having strong people around you. People who think for themselves and have opinions. Now,
it could be perceived, but it isn't true.
Okay. I came on board to work with you for Millennium Mind. We had problems around my pay with Divine Unity. That got sorted out eventually. I didn't agree to work for nothing for 6 months and just be disposed of. I agreed to work for you hard on the basis we were going somewhere, and the going somewhere was well understood until you decided we weren't going there. Then that changed the ball game.
But I wasn't able to go that direction, John. So, again, where I made a mistake is when I knew in my gut that I wasn't ready. And I knew that my office was a mess. I knew that I had a spiritual issue with SAI that I had not sorted out yet. Mm-hmm. I knew that none of that was in place. And all of those have to do with the unfolding of my growth as a human being. Now, you can judge me as being a despicable person, unable to have relationships with others, or however you want to frame that.
I frame it as being an employer that didn't follow through on the agreements that we had. But I'm very happy.
But so that this is where you get confused. Were you a partner in Millennium Mind? Were you an employee of a Millennium Mind? I thought that we were signing a temporary filing, and I did not know that that was a permanent filing. I did not know that. And if I had known that, I wouldn't have gone forward with it.
Is there such a thing as a temporary filing?
You told me there was.
I didn't tell you there was such a thing as a temporary
filing. You told me that everything, that all of the things that we were filing were filed on a temporary basis.
I didn't say that. And if you read the memos, you will see that I set up the charities with people that happened to be around as temporary directors that had nothing to do with Millennium Mind at all.
Okay. So, John, as things have gone down the road, which I was in a very unstable, fucked up, stressed out place for most of the time that I was in your presence, okay, as things have gone on, and I have followed the directives that I have been given, and SAI has been straightened out, certain individuals, certain directions are not appropriate for what I'm doing. It's true, they've been eliminated. And rightfully so, happily so, beautifully so.
Mm-hmm.
So that now SAI and Millennium Mind have reached a place of integration.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as that reached its place of integration, suddenly, here I am with major spiritual teachers coming to me, and they have also received the divine plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to continue to work together on global guardianship initiatives. That is what we will be doing.
I'm pleased for you.
So the fact that I had to move through a certain period of instability,
mm-hmm.
a certain period of sorting out,
mm-hmm.
And when you come back to your principle that how dare you cast me off, or Nora or whoever, what I'm saying is that I had to define what my life was going to be about for myself. And you are absolutely correct. I am not willing to partner in my immediate effect of creation with anyone. I won't do it, not for a very long time.
Good.
I'm not ready. I'm not well enough defined. It just isn't going to happen. Now, for me to work under the umbrella of other organizations because their infrastructure is together, right now, that's working for me.
Good.
My priority and my commitment is to bring through the block of information that I have promised to bring through.
Wonderful.
That is not inherently bad.
I'm not suggesting it is.
But you are suggesting it is.
No, Deborah, if you will listen to me, what I'm hearing you saying, if you will let me get a sentence in every now and again.
But you condemn me, John.
I'm not condemning you.
You have, over and over again. If you want to hear all the comments that come back to us, you condemn me quite vehemently, often.
This is mirror thing. This is you. This is you. I meet Joseph and Barbara in a restaurant, and Joseph very nervously says to me, "Oh, John, we'll have to come round sometime." And I laugh at him. I say, "Joseph, you're not even allowed to talk to me. Why would you want to come round?"
Why would he not be allowed to talk to you?
Because everyone apparently has been told we're on the outside, and that's how it works with you. Either people are loyal and dutiful with you, or they're outcasts. There's no in between.
John, you are our neighbor. That is fact. And to have a neighborly relationship with you would be what I would hope for.
Me too.
Rather than to have, that's not clearly going to happen. If you want to drag it into a big courtroom, absurdity.
I don't want to do that, Deborah.
But then you come back to the principle, the reason you are suing me is because I did not treat people well. Is that
no,
what
that's
hearing?
Not what I said.
Then come back to the principle, because I still don't get it.
Okay, I'll explain
it to
you.
Whether I understand it or not.
If you let me speak.
Sure.
I'll try to explain it briefly in limpid clarity. And that is that we came together. I volunteered to work with you in Millennium Mind, which was a for-profit, and it was going in the direction of for-profit. Now, what I'm hearing is that along the way, I don't quite know when, your objectives changed. And that is fine. That is not a problem. Just let me finish. The indisputable fact is that I did work and work hard for 4 or 5 months for you. If the directions changed, that's not a problem. We're not going forward to...
I don't feel like that's true. I don't feel like we actually addressed Millennium Mind to both of our dismay. Very much. We spent very little time on Millennia Mind. Very little time at all. To my extreme dismay. That's what happened.
Deborah, there's a huge amount of energy that went into Cactus to get our publicity material up.
I ended up designing that myself in October, John.
Sure, I'm not arguing that. What I'm saying is that there's a lot of energy gone into Millennia Mind.
But it was at such a minuscule level compared to what the unfolding of something actually is.
Yes, and the initial letter that we sent out to everyone announcing it was very precise. It showed where it was going,
yes,
where it fitted in, and so on. And
but
we
I paid
were
practice for the development of the logo.
Of course you did.
That was not your creation. It was not your vision.
I'm not inferring that it was.
Okay, so...
What I'm inferring is if you pay Cactus, you pay me for my time, please.
Well...
That is the nub of it.
I have principles also. I have principles also.
And what is your principle in having
and
me around you for 5 months?
There are 30 or 40 people that witnessed you say, tell the whole group, that you were not supporting me for the money, that you were not involved with it for the money, that you were really there to serve the masters and serve Millennium Mind, and for you it was not about money. And I'm saying what I've witnessed as things progressed, and what I believe is that actually it was about your pay and your money. That's what I feel. Now, as far as Millennium Mind having anything to do with the corporate world, the premise of it is a concept. It is a teaching. It is a teaching that can be translated into a school for financial paradigms, perhaps sometime in Europe. It will not be for profit either.
You're saying this now. That was not the case when we started. It was for profit. It's documented as being for profit.
Do you feel, just at some juncture point, of human relationship, John, do you feel that there's any possibility that you as a businessman were very clear on your concept and how things should go, but I, not having that background or that focus or even that orientation, was not clear on it at all? I wasn't.
I didn't accept that, Deborah. For two reasons. One, we had so many meetings almost daily. The other thing is that you don't allow anyone to go off and do anything on their own. That you are
right. The
ultimate control freak.
Absolute control freak, John.
Yeah.
And I continue my affairs exactly along those lines.
As you did with Millennium Mind until you change your mind.
I am going to continue to be the sole person, no one else, who has an effect on the direction that I am going in, because it is a very fine line that I'm walking. And I'm not strong enough, and I was not strong enough with you. I was not strong enough to walk this undefined fine line with anyone else's influence. I could not walk it with you. I could not walk it with Nora. The direction Nora wanted to take the teaching had nothing to do whatsoever with the destiny of that school. Not that what she wants to do is invalid. It is very valid. I think I benefited from it a lot, but it is not what the assignment is.
Well, here's the paradox, you see, because while I was away in St. Lucia, we had that long telephone conversation where you just wanted to get rid of the school and go on with Millennium Mind.
What?
So what does it matter if you want to get rid of it, what she does with it?
Because I didn't understand the way in which Millennium Mind was to cascade into the container of SAI. I couldn't fathom how that would be possible, because I banged my head against the wall for years with no success at all, just drained from it. But when I set the standards and we turned people, a lot of people, away from the school this winter, John, you're at a certain level. The school is a school of world service, period. So now, the programs, Peace Promise Initiative, all of the things that the masters assigned to us is the school. And either you are there to participate in these projects, or you don't participate in the school at all. So that is the definition that things have gone in, which is working really well,
sure.
Or at least has a promise of working well. As I go to Los Angeles, where I'll be doing public speaking, there's a whole crew of initiates who are now going with me.
That's wonderful.
A whole crew that went to Amazon. So it is defined very differently. Partly because I couldn't see it, partly because I was in a miasm myself of feeling ripped off and just like, why am I doing this, exhausted and so forth. Partly because I just hadn't given it the time that it needed. Because this is so new. Mm. It needed to gel. And I will be honest with you, there's probably 30% more in terms of what this actually is that has not even been defined to me yet. Mm-hmm. And so the container of what Millennium Mind was, it was pushed in a direction that it was not intended to go in, which is why.
Pushed by whom, Deborah?
To some degree, by both of us. But
because
I'm saying,
I remember
John,
the wonderful chat.
I gave up my power to you. I thought you were the expert. You knew how things could work. I was sick and tired of dealing with the office, exhausted to death trying to deal with it, beating my head against the wall to deal with it. And here you were, Prince. I was happy to have Prince Charming show up on my step, except that I got a warning that the masters did not want it to go in the direction that we were taking it in. I can't help that.
I'm not saying that you can. I'm just taking you back to a time when we were talking about the four prophets. At your behest, I went off and gathered things about private airlines and airplanes and so on.
If you had been connecting with the source of information, whatever you want to call it, And before you left on your sabbatical and so on with your wife, I said, John, please go to the masters and really see what they are telling you. And when we spoke, we had a rather long conversation while I was in the lake. I said the same thing. I thought, and I believed, that you would get the same information that you would back off of me. I believed that you would get the same information and that we would be on the same page, and then you could make your decision whether or not this fit what you really wanted to do with your life, because I kept saying, the transmissions are what this is. It's my life. It's what I promised to do. And I hope that maybe you could go along with that, but I also knew that maybe you couldn't. This wasn't what you wanted. And I don't think it is. I don't think you would have had the patience. I don't think that's what you wanted to do.
Deborah, I hear you now trying to fit all the pieces of the puzzle together to tell your story.
It is my story, John. It matters to me.
But the
my story matters to me. Shouldn't it matter somewhere in this conversation? Shouldn't it matter somewhere in this reality? Doesn't it count for anything? What was going on in my life with the whole thing that I was struggling with, doesn't it matter? Doesn't it matter anywhere? Because I feel like you are taking my vulnerability and you are shoving me up the ass with it, and you are pretending that you've got some goddamn principle while you're doing it, and I'm saying it's not true for me. And there's a hell of a lot of other people who don't think it's true either. That is the truth. You are fucking over a spiritual teacher, for Christ's sake. Doesn't that mean anything? I have not had an easy time doing this thing that has never been done before. And I can barely even hold my own in groups of people who are trying to get the same thing, and they are barely holding their own too. This is a very difficult thing that we are bringing through, and it may not have any fruition for 200 or 300 years, John. It may have none.
Devil, all I see.
The direction that people are going in is so pathetic on this planet, and it breaks my heart. For us to go in this direction as blindly and foolishly as all the other polarized people on the planet, what can possibly? It's like that. It makes me feel as though that there's no hope. That with all the good intentions that we began, if this is the direction that it has to go with, I do not agree with the truth of your principle. And I do not feel that you're listening to me as to what actually was taking place.
Deborah,
because what is more important? Your world?
Deborah, all I can do is fucking listen to you, because all you do is talk. All you do is talk. You don't listen at all. Now, all you're doing is bullying me. Now you're using your emotions. So, I really don't think there's any point in taking this meeting any further. before you go, Deborah, would you agree that I did do some work with you for 5 months? Why not just make me an offer for the time I work for you?